And now
it's 10 a.m.
Let's just get down to it.
And it's time for your sports fix.
Strap yourselves in, folks.
From two guys who have covered the teams you're passionate about for years.
We are professionals.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jake Scott, Ben Anderson, thank you for making us a part of your, NCAA tournament day? We should have a name for it. I feel like it's a big deal across the country. Everybody, does something, fills out a bracket, watches it at the office of here at JCW's, which we'll talk about in a moment. But it's one of those... It's a big deal.
It's one
we
of
should
the,
have a name.
What are there? Kind of two really big days on the sports calendar every year, and it's Super Bowl Sunday, and then it's kind of this opening of the tournament. This is the big day today and tomorrow. Obviously, everyone kind of celebrates it, but today's the bigger of the two just because it's the first. And otherwise, I don't know if we do sports that well otherwise. There's Major League Baseball opening day, which some people celebrate, but it doesn't generate the same national excitement that this does.
No.
This is an event. This is a thing people get together to do. They take work off. They ditch work to watch these games, which is what we'd like you to do. Come down, hang out with us at JCW.
I made a joke yesterday about the Cubs and how you can be terrible and not lose your fan support because they were still having games in the middle of the day on a Tuesday. If you can dominate a work day, not a holiday, but a work day.
Super Bowl Sunday doesn't even do that.
No, right. I think that says something. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Teachers are throwing it on in school today.
Right. It's just one of the best days of the year. It's just one of the best sports days of the year, no question about it.
So, listen, your boss understands then when you duck out like now and come here to JCW's in American Fork to watch the BYU game. 580 East State Street. In American Fork, it's super easy to get to. It's not that far off the freeway. It's right on State. The food, Ben, so good. I'm so excited for lunch today. This has been highlighted on my calendar for a while.
Thinking about it.
We're going to be back tomorrow at the Harriman location. So if you can't make it today, make plans to join us tomorrow. The station is going to be at JCW's here in American Fork all day. So... whenever you get a chance to break away from work or take a long lunch or whatever, we are here for you at JCW's. We'll get you fed. In fact, if you walk away hungry, that's on you.
And there's plenty of TVs.
Oh, there's TVs all
You're
over the
find
place.
Every
yeah, yeah, yeah. It's great. You'll be able to watch the whole thing. This is a beautiful location, as are all the JCW's locations, but this is great. We're super excited to be here. We're super excited to see as many listeners as possible. So come here. The BYU game tips off, what, Ben, in
30 minutes?
30 minutes,
yep.
A little over 30 minutes. So you still have time to get here to catch the entire game. I love it that we're in Utah County on the day of the BYU game. This is so great, Ben. You and I have done a lot of these days on the radio. And around here lately, they haven't been all that exciting because there hasn't been a ton of local interest, and even when BYU happen to squeeze into the tournament out of the WCC or whatever, they get such a bad seed.
Yeah,
it's been difficult to generate a ton of local interest on the first day or second day of the tournament, and that ain't the case this year with two local teams with seeds and winnable games. It should be. I mean, it should add a little extra spice, I'm hoping.
What would you set the over-under at local wins for our teams combined, locally?
Well, I've picked them both to win.
Okay. So if I said 1.5.
I would take the over.
You take the over.
Less confident about Utah State than I am about BYU. We talked about on Monday about whether BYU got the shaft, and I do think they did, but... they got a nice matchup. They got a team they match up well against. And actually, I think they got a somewhat vulnerable team in the second round too, which is probably about as much as you can ask.
And considering, again, the controversy is that BYU should have been a 5 seed. All the 5s have to play in the Friday-Sunday bracket, and of course BYU doesn't play Sunday, so they got bumped to a 6. The most popular upset, I think, in the first round that everyone is picking is Grand Canyon, who is a 12 seed going up against St. Mary's. You know, BYU could have easily found themselves in that conversation and might have been one of the teams that everybody was picking against early because Grand Canyon's been good all year and has length and has size and has something that you don't generally see from some of these teams. In fact, a lot of people like James Madison also, who's also a 12 seed going up against Wisconsin, who's a number 5 seed. I guess you'd have to look at who Gonzaga was playing because most people think Gonzaga ended up getting BYU's spot, and they're playing a McNeese team that's 30-3 this season. So the bracket between 5, 6, 7, you know what I mean? It's such a jumble.
I think Gonzaga is going to beat McNeese State, but we'll wait, dude. Maybe it's
we'll see where he goes after this year.
Whatever that guy does, and it might be stuff you don't want to know about, it's effective. that guy is effective.
Now he gets
year
the hard
one
part.
At McNeese, and he wins the league.
30-3.
Yeah,
he's pretty good at it. The hard part, I guess, for BYU would be is if they do get to the second round, that their matchup would be Kansas if they were in Gonzaga's spot. The problem is Kansas is missing their best player, at least their best scorer. Hunter Dickinson might be their best player, but even he's banged up.
But they could beat Illinois.
He dislocated. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's the thing. BYU
Illinois
could
is not
beat
unbeatable.
Kansas and has. They could beat Illinois.
Absolutely. So, and I actually think Utah State could beat Purdue. I think Purdue is super vulnerable. But that's if Utah State gets back past TCU, and here's where I do think the Mountain West got host. They're outright champion in a league where in a year where the league was as strong as ever. Gets TCU in the first round?
Yeah.
I mean, TCU's not going all the way, but they're a really good team.
It's a good Big 12 team.
The type of team that they are is not particularly a great matchup for Utah State. Utah State had a good enough year that they deserve a team in the first round they can run over. Like, honestly, BYU can run over Duquesne.
They should.
I think that's what we're gonna see. They have more size. They have more athleticism. They're the better team overall. They should absolutely run over Duquesne. No way Utah State's running over TCU. It's going to be I know this term has been controversial lately, but it's going to be a bloodbath.
Yeah, it
that
is.
Game is going to be physical, and it's going to be really difficult for whoever wins it, my opinion. Maybe TCU goes out there, lays an egg. Maybe Utah State does. But I think it's going to be hard fought, and whoever comes out of it is going to be fortunate that they did so.
You know what? I don't hate the matchup against Purdue because it's going to be about the two big guys, Zach Edey, the National Player of the Year, who's the 7'4" behemoth, who is quite skilled but is slow of foot, and Great Osabor, who has pretty quick moves in the post and is really smart and is going to know how to use his leverage where he's not, 7'1". But he's pretty good at getting his – or using his leverage to his advantage, and that's one thing he's going to be able to do.
How many big stiffs have taken their teams to an NCAA tournament title?
Yeah, it's not a lot.
I can think of one.
Okay, and I might even argue, depending on who you say it is.
I doubt it.
Okay.
Eric Montross.
No, I wouldn't argue with you. You're right. RIP, right? Didn't he just pass away earlier this year?
Yeah, but, yeah, he was a big stiff.
Sure.
And they won the title.
Sure.
They beat Chris Webber.
Yes. But I thought you were going to say like Julia Okafor. I'm like, well, he's pretty athletic. But okay. Yeah, absolutely.
No,
you're talking about big kind
I'm
of robotic
about
guys.
Big stiffs.
Yeah.
Like Bryant Big Country Reeves, didn't he go to the Final Four, but they didn't win it all.
Yep.
Tag had a good team, right,
yep.
In college, but they didn't win it all.
Yeah.
No, I'm thinking big stiffs.
Yeah.
Like Michael Olakandy didn't win it all.
No.
At Pacific?
Where did he go? Yeah, some small school.
But no, that's what I'm getting at. How many like that dude, how many big stiffs have won it all?
No,
I can only think of Eric Montross, and I'm probably missing somebody, back in the day, but
yeah, what type of team do you feel like usually wins? I mean, I know this is kind of a cliche question, but and it changes year in and year out, but Tennessee is a popular pick. In fact, I think you have Tennessee going to the Final Four, right?
Yeah, but their coach chokes,
And they might have one of the best players in the tournament. We've talked about him a lot, Dalton Knecht. I don't remember a lot of, 6'5" wings being the difference maker. Now, there are the Carmelo Anthonys of the world, certainly, and who are bigger and more talented.
Honestly, there are plenty of them.
But it's I know it's cliche to say, but it's so often it's these young guards. It's these veteran guards, and young meaning they're 22, but these veteran guards in college – that have been there, that have that experience, that end up making these runs. Andre Miller, et cetera.
Yeah, because I think the college game lends itself to guard play, because what's the easiest way to score? Have your most skilled player beat the guy in front of him.
Who's touching the ball.
Right, and so I think what I would say goes hand in hand with what you would say. Like, I think really good coaching matters in NCAA tournament play, because there's so many close games and you're able to call so many timeouts. You really can, like, dial it up.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, here's where I'd give Utah State an edge. I think Danny Sprinkle can really dial up some really cool stuff.
Also, they have a good guard and they have a good big guy. It's kind of the right formula.
And they've won a ton of close games. So they know they've been in the situation. They're not going to be fazed by it. They know how to execute and all that stuff. Like that, I think that stuff really matters, because you just, outside of the, you know, a couple of matchups, you really don't see a ton of blowouts, especially as you get out of the first couple of rounds. I mean, it's teams that can go out there and execute. But, like, Anthony Davis won Calipari's one title, right? The one time Coach Cal's gotten over the hump in Kentucky, which seems so bananas. But Anthony Davis was by far the best player, or like best player in that tournament.
Yeah, no question.
But then you look at other teams that have won, like let's take that Montrose team under Dean Smith. That was a team.
Yeah.
And teams can win too, because we have examples of that where these, you know, teams that have been together forever that have, you know, good, not great players, not necessarily NBA talent, but they have specific skills at the college level that are really effective, and then you have a good coach, and then you beat the Fab Five. You beat Chris Webber. You beat that team that's just stacked that you should have lost to by 30 because Eric Montrose was your best player,
yep.
And you beat him.
That's
so
right.
There's examples all over the place. But I'll take a team that can execute in close games, and that usually means you've got a good coach.
It's why I like UConn again this year. They have the team. They have the great coach in Dan Hurley. They have two lottery-level players in Klingon and Castle. They're really good. That's a very good team, and I know that's not a hot take. They're the number one overall seed, but I think they're a number one overall seed for a reason.
If you're looking for a simple, sneaky stat that might give you the advantage, Ben, free throw percentage, I think, is a huge deal in the tournament, because the end of games is so silly and clunky and filled with fouls to stay in it and all this stuff. I mean, a team that can make its foul shots to put other teams away, I think, is a big deal. But then on the other side of that, speaking of that Kentucky team, that Calipari, the only team that's won it, didn't they shoot like 54% from the line or something like that? They were like the world's worst foul shooting team, and
but
they won it all.
Remember the first time Calipari probably should have won a title was with Derrick Rose, and Derrick Rose notoriously
they blew it because
chokes on two free throws. At the end of the game. And was it Mario Williams hits a three? I can't remember who it was.
At Memphis, lost to Kansas.
Yeah, Kansas hits a big three to tie the game at whatever 97 late in that game and send it to overtime where they win. So. You're right.
That,
no, you've got to make your free throws.
Do you know that I have a friend that is still angry about that game? Angry with me, because he was – if Memphis won, he was going to win his office pool or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And I think Memphis was up – they were up like 10 with 8 or 9 minutes to go.
And had the best player on the floor.
And I was like, start spending that dough, bro, because this thing is over.
It's locked up.
This thing is over. Oh, and then they blew it because he got mad at me, of course. He was like, what are you saying? There's so much time left.
Yeah,
I was like, this is college basketball, man. It might as well be 30 points. And no, that didn't turn out to be the fact. He was bent. He still brings it up.
Remember that time?
I bet he's thinking about it today. I bet he's not even listening to the show. And he's like, I remember when I would have won. I feel bad about that.
Yeah, you don't need to. Colorado beat Boise State last night, 60-53, the final of the first four games in. So Colorado advances. Not
you
a
realize
game
that
from their young star, Cody Williams, that everyone talks about, Jalen Williams' little brother, but they're good otherwise.
You realize Boise has never won an NCAA tournament
Never
game.
Won a game?
No.
It seemed like you'd accidentally win one at some point, right?
No,
they don't make it a ton.
Now, listen, they haven't always been in the Mountain West Conference. I mean, they
That's
were
true.
Not even a D1 whatever school.
That's true.
Before the 90s, right? I don't know what that meant for basketball. I don't know how long they've been playing D1 basketball, but I don't think it's been that long. So, in their defense. But they've never won it. They're 0-10.
Oof. That's a lot. That's too many to lose in a row.
Well,
and they're probably the underseed in every single one of those games, minus maybe one or two. Maybe they got a 7 seed at one point, but, yeah, I'm sure they've never been a 4.
Man, I hope the Mountain West wins some games because I don't want to listen to the, oh, they stink because they can't win a game in the NCAA tournament. Again, after their best team that won outright in the regular season, is handed TCU in the first round. And then two of them are handed play-ins, right?
To be fair, I just had to Google who's the best Boise State basketball player of all time, and I don't know who it is. Like, usually I could tell you off the top of my head, you name most random colleges, we could pick somebody. Boise State, I cannot, which is weird because they're somewhat relevant athletic department, and they're not that far from
here. They just haven't been around all that long. Yep. And you know what? Idaho doesn't – I don't think Idaho is pumping out basketball players. I mean, Utah actually doesn't pump out that many basketball players. It's changing a little bit with, like, Wasatch – what is it called? The Wasatch Academy or whatever? I mean, some stuff like that. But, I mean, if you look back at our, like, McDonald's All-American basketball, high school basketball players, the list ain't long. You know what I mean? So this part of the country isn't exactly pumping out basketball. Now, football talent is a different story, but basketball talent, we're still a little bit behind.
Chandler Hutchison, I remember him, first-round pick, absolute bust in the NBA. Apparently, their career leader in points was a man named Tanaka Beard. Don't remember Tanaka Beard.
I love his name.
Anthony Drimmich, don't remember him.
Not doing it for you?
No. Oh, Kobe Carl. Kobe Carl was good, George's kid.
Was he, or was he just George's kid, so you noticed him?
Yes. Both. He was a little bit good.
I don't think he was, though.
And
I think you just said, oh!
I forgot about him.
George Carl's kid.
He played for a minute. He had a cup of coffee in the NBA, didn't he?
No?
He did. He played 37 seconds for the Los Angeles Lakers.
So, no.
He bet closer than I got.
Calling that a cup of coffee, though, is really doing a disservice to people that actually
coffee
have
better
had
not
a,
be like, too hot because you can't drink a cup of coffee in 37 seconds.
Like, my guy, Britton Johnson, had a cup of coffee in the NBA. You know what I mean? He played way more than that.
Yeah, absolutely.
What seconds?
37. Hey, Chandler Hutchison played 103 games. Played 170 minutes.
A season and a quarter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kobe Carl is Kobe Carl says he was around a couple more years. How many games did he actually appear in? Oh, he ended up playing 24 games. Okay.
Oh,
I would have liked
had
he moonlight grammed it and only played 37
NBA veteran.
Seconds.
Oh, yeah. That would
never touched the ball.
We are underway in the NCAA tournament, so hopefully everybody registered at kslsports.com.
Yeah.
Good luck to everyone out there. Good
Who's
luck.
Who's playing?
We have 9 seed Michigan State taking on 8 seed Mississippi State. And I happen to think that Michigan State stinks this year.
Can you see this?
I can't see that.
Or is it too glary?
And I know nothing about Mississippi State, but I picked them because Michigan State stinks.
Yep, I think that's fair.
You?
I also picked Mississippi State. I've told you I'm not buying the Tom Izzo thing this year. They're a 9 seed by name this year, I think.
Well, maybe we save this for – let's save it for a different state. Let's talk NCAA tournament expansion at some point because – I know, I'm sure you have a take
yeah,
on it. But it's like gaining steam. And
I'm sure it is.
I've had so many causes that I've seen, you know, going away, like stuff gaining steam, and it's like, okay, well, this one feels now inevitable too. But I think there are big risks.
Okay.
So we can dive into
it. Let's talk about it.
We're live at JCW's. We want everyone who's able to please come on out and see us. 580 East State Street right here at American Fork. It's super easy to get to. BYU starts at 10:40. So you've got like 15, 20 minutes to get in here. We're looking at the great staff here at JCW's, Ben. They are busy back there. That means they're going to have food hot and ready.
Smells good.
Ready to go when you get here. I cannot wait. Do you know what you're going to get?
I think I'm going to go with a jalapeno burger, but they also have sandwiches, which sounds really good right now, too.
Yeah, and sounds. They've got, like, yeah, they've got wings.
Maybe I'll eat a meal every hour.
What's the over-under on number of wings that Hans consumes today? Anybody?
There's 68 teams in the bracket?
So
Hans, so one wing for every team in the bracket.
You think that's the over-under?
Hans could knock out 68.
No, we're not talking about could. No, Hans could eat them all. I don't know what they've got back there. I'm sure it's literally hundreds, if not thousands, of wings, and Hans is capable of eating.
What, 19 and a half?
But what will he do?
He can eat 19. They're here for 3 hours. And Tim Lacombe's here doing the show with him because Scotty's calling the Utah State game. So, like, Lacombe's going to do a lot of the talking about college basketball, and Hans will be like, oh, I'm just licking my fingers.
But listen, you keep using the word can. Like, Hans can eat.
Sure. That's why I'm saying. 20 wings is not that crazy.
But what will he do? Because it's always this battle of Hans versus self-control. You know what I mean? When it comes to food, you hear him talk all the time. The man loves food.
Yeah.
And he's also giant and is very conscious about what he eats. So he allows himself certain.
What would you eat?
Me?
What's a normal amount of wings for you?
Oh, 10? I used to eat a dozen, 12? But I don't eat that anymore.
Okay, like 12 is a pretty standard number. A lot of people get a dozen wings. Well, Hans is double the normal person, but also has to do a radio show. So you got to count. If he's double the normal person, that would be 24, but he's going to be talking sometimes and try to not make a mess of himself. So I'm going to lower the number from 24 a hair. So I'll set 19 and a half. There's no way he's doing 12.
Oh, he'll do more than that. But all right, let's say over under 19 and a half. That's what you want to do?
Yeah. 19 and a half. I'm going over. Yeah, Dallin's going over. Sean, over? Over. Yeah.
Okay. You know what? I'll go under because I think there's going to be other.
Yeah, the hard part is he might get a dozen wings at a jalapeno burger.
Like there's a burger and fries, and you know he's going to eat a shake.
That's right.
All right, so there we go. We've got it. Come see us. Hang out with us. Hans will be here later. The guys in the afternoon, JJ and Alex, are going to be here as well. 580 East State Street, JCW's in American Fork. How many TVs do they have in this joint, Ben?
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 at least. 11 at least.
So, yeah. So, all the games are going to be on then? Yeah. All of them are going to be on. And you'll be able to see them and enjoy the delicious food here at JCW's. More next. Jake and Ben, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
It's time to break down the biggest stories of the day.
Let's go.
This is the top three stories of the day on KSLSports.com. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jacob Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Happy NCAA Tournament Day to everybody. We are celebrating at JCW's right here in American Fork. Come see us, 580 East State Street. Come watch the games with us. We've got them up right now, Ben. My whole take about Tom Izzo is not looking good. 18 to 8.
That's early.
Michigan State leads Mississippi State. The year where I say, Michigan State, they can't beat anyone. We're out to an early lead. BYU tips off against Duquesne coming up about 5 minutes, Ben. We're right there. We've got some BYU fans that just came in. Really cool
Shout
family.
Out.
Thanks for coming to watch the games with
why
us.
Why aren't there kids in school?
Ben, this is basically a holiday.
It's like those kids are prime elementary school. But you know what they did do? They came and got some gear off the tables next to us.
Yeah, I thought of checking my kids out.
So they're getting some burgers. They're getting some shakes.
How awesome would that be if mom and dad checked you out of school on NCAA tournament
We're going to
day.
Get food. We're going to get you some gifts from the radio station. And
we're
going
to watch some hoop.
You better be careful. Are those your glasses?
Yeah.
Someone's going to take those off the table thinking you're giving away shades.
No.
They will?
No. I'm not giving those away. As a matter of fact, my coffee cup either.
Yeah.
That's staying with me. But now 20-8, Michigan State all over Mississippi State. BYU Duquesne at 10:40. And we'll have it up right here at JCW's. Come on by and see us. Time for the top three stories of the day at KSLSports.com, brought to you by Jay Brooks Jewelers. Two locations to serve you, one on Winchester Street across from Fash Place Mall, the other Traverse Mountain in Lehigh. All right, Sarah, where are we starting today?
Number one, like you said, BYU is taking on Duquesne.
I think this is a good matchup for the Cougs. Duquesne might have a bit of the Rudy thing going, the win one for the Gipper thing going, because their coach, this is going to be his last
hurrah
with the team. His wife is ill with cancer, and there's kind of a lot of you know, a lot of reason to pull in the same direction for Duquesne. Now, BYU's job is to make that not matter.
Yep, rooting for her, but, you know, that doesn't apply to BYU.
No, they need to stay focused and go out and just beat a team that they should beat.
It's going to come down to hitting shots for BYU, and that has been the case most of the year, unfortunately. It would be nice if they had found more ways to generate easy looks and develop an easier offense. The thing for BYU is their three-point shots are their easy offense. You know, they generate a lot of them because they have a lot of players who can shoot, and when that's the case, you rely on it heavily, and they will, and they just can't have the entire team go cold. Generally, when they see a couple go in, they're hot for the rest of the game, and they're as prone as anybody in this NCAA tournament to have double-digit made threes, and when you do that, you truly can beat anybody. So I would expect them to win this opening round game as well.
But I don't think the three is going to matter. I mean, they may make a bunch of them, but actually, I think it's a luxury of, for once, like, the three might not matter. They're bigger and more athletic than Duquesne.
Sure.
How often is BYU bigger and more athletic than the teams in the Big 12? Very rarely.
Maybe not ever in the
and
Big 12.
That's why they have to knock down all those threes. It's the equalizer. If they knock down the threes, they'll win by 20. What is the Magic Vegas predicting wizard saying on this one?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Let's see. BYU minus 9.5.
Okay, big spread.
That's not a surprise.
Duquesne a 34% three-point shooting team. BYU just under 35%. But of course, that doesn't account for makes.
So there you go. Unless Duquesne, I think, really puts forth an uber-inspired effort, and BYU does not play well, I think the Cougs should advance.
I agree. I've got BYU winning.
Man, you're just watching Mississippi State stink it up over there.
Well, they're missing layups, and they don't shoot threes well, and Michigan State's red hot from three. Which, again, Michigan State jumped out there like, what, 4 of 7 to open the game from downtown? That'll end the game quickly.
All right, what's next?
Number 2, the Jazz fall to the Thunder.
Good game for the first three quarters. As expected, the Thunder kind of put that one away. The best I've seen Chet Holmgren play all year. I've watched a few Thunder games. He was pretty magnificent last night. But I thought another good performance from Taylor Hendricks. I think Keontae George will be happy to never see Shai Gilgeous-Alexander again, at least not until next season. And then, man, Colin Sexton's awesome. Colin Sexton's just a really good player. He is a guy, if I were the Jazz, I would not rule out as a long-term piece in the picture.
He's had a great season.
Yep.
I mean, I said it on the postgame show last night. The Jazz season's been a little up and down, but that hasn't been Colin. And, in fact, I think he's got a really healthy, functional relationship with the coach. And, I'm sure they're not in a hurry to part ways with Colin Sexton. Now, that said, you know, if it's advantageous, they're going to do it because nobody on this roster is untradeable.
Well, him playing well but in general is very important because of that reason exactly. If you're going to trade somebody at some point to make a major upgrade to the roster, and we've talked a lot about, you know, can you find somebody who's better than Lauri Markkanen and, you know, Keontae George, if Keontae George is the long-term piece, you need to have another good player, not just a big salary. John Collins is a big salary. He has pretty mixed opinions around the NBA.
There has to be value.
If Colin Sexton's going to continue to average 20-7 and shoot 50% from the floor and over 40% from the three-point line, a lot of general managers can sell themselves on losing a star player and getting a 25-year-old Colin Sexton back with a bunch of draft picks. That's not a bad return. In fact, that's the same trade the Jazz made for Donovan Mitchell. So if he continues to play that well, either keep him, which is an advantage that the Jazz have, or he has value in a trade, and that you need to hit on those types of players, and the Jazz so far have.
I think you hit it all, Ben. I thought last night was fairly uninteresting from a Jazz perspective.
It's where they are.
And I mean, again, those some said, really nice blocks from Taylor Hendricks, but, like, I mean, the young players weren't really particularly good.
Yeah.
Colin was, but I'm not shocked.
Right.
I didn't play all that tough.
No, I mean, they
were fine. Like, Will Hardy said, though, they competed for 42 minutes, which was true, but didn't compete for the most important minutes.
And then when the Thunder wanted to end the game, they ended the game.
Right. So, I don't know. Maybe it's that I'm in a bad mood today or something, but I don't know. I thought last night was there wasn't a ton to take from it, I didn't think, to be honest.
Unfortunately, it's these final, 14 games of the season now? 12 games of the season we've got left? It's just what they're going to look like. So, you're looking for some minor victories for the Jazz, and that's where they are.
Right. All right. What's next?
Number 3, Shohei Ohtani's interpreter is fired.
Suddenly, the most interesting story in sports.
This story so far is incredible. If you've followed kind of the ins and outs, so a bookie in California is under investigation.
Yes, gets caught, gets raided.
Gets caught. One of his clients.
Sports gambling not legal in California.
In California. Yeah. But, it's not like this guy was licensed. Even if it was legal in California,
right.
You can't just be a bookie.
Right.
That's not how we're. Well, it's legal.
Yeah.
He gets busted. One of his clients, lo and behold, is Shohei Ohtani's interpreter, but he's actually taken payments from Shohei Ohtani himself.
By name. Yep.
And then the response initially was, Shohei helped out his friend who was in trouble.
His friend had stolen the money from Shohei.
Well, no, initially it wasn't. There was no steal anywhere initially.
And
it
then
was,
Ohtani was going to pay
and
it off
then,
for him.
You know, Ohtani did him a favor and paid it off for him, and then everybody clammed up, and the story is now turned to there's theft involved and that the interpreter stole from Shohei to pay this, and now nobody's talking. So the initial reaction, I think, might be close to the truth. I actually doubt that, too, but it's interesting because obviously some attorney or agent was like, whoa, no, you can't. You need to be totally clear of this, not helping out a buddy, not like you can't. He's going under the bus. He stole this. And if he's got to go to jail, he stole this. But you can't say I paid an illegal bookie $5 million. That he'll lose his career will be over.
Well, the problem is a lot of people think Ohtani's making these bets.
See, that's the thing.
Like, that's the big game. Because he said the translator originally said I made these bets. I was in debt. I went to Shohei. Shohei gave me the money and paid it off. Now he switched the story and said Shohei had no idea about it.
And I stole it.
Well, Shohei would know if there was $4.5 million that under his name, if he would remember to pay off this guy. So the story has changed in such a bizarre way that it really points to Shohei in some wrongdoing of some sense or another. And a lot of people do believe that he's the one who's gambling.
I don't know.
I actually. But that is what a lot of the theory is.
But it might not matter. Is my point, which is why they're changing their story, because it honestly you can't, you know, if you're a player you can't have that connection. At very least, it's an intelligence test that he flunked. You paid an illegal bookie that much money from your accounts. What is the matter with you?
Right. And a bookie is saying, well, I didn't ever meet Ohtani, and I.
It doesn't matter.
As long as the money came in, I didn't care whose name was on it. But at the same time, the bookie was using Ohtani's name to get other people to bet with him because he was saying, well, look, Shohei's doing it. I'm trustworthy.
But that's the thing. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Listen, Ben, I don't know if you've sat through this or not, but working for the Jazz, I've had to sit through their presentation every year about gambling and what's okay and what's not okay. And it's very clear. It's done by, or at least when I was sitting through these things, it was done by Sam Harkness, the lead attorney over there. I mean, by a very serious person who did a really good job laying out what was acceptable and what is not.
Yeah.
And so I don't feel bad for players who get caught up in this sort of thing and punished. I don't feel bad at all. In fact, Shohei's – okay, let's say it's true, Ben, the most flowery version of this story. Interpreter has a gambling problem, in way over his head, goes to Shohei and says, I need you to bail me out. Now, Shohei's response has to be, sorry, pal, but you made your bet. I can't touch this.
I can't help you.
I can't be connected to that. I can't be. In fact, not only can I not help you, I now have to fire you because I know about it.
And probably turn you in.
And probably turn you in. And you know what? You deserve it because you betrayed me.
Yeah.
Because you put me in a horrible situation where that billion-dollar contractor or whatever can be flushed down the toilet and I can never play baseball again because of you.
Right.
So
now the
screw you very much and get out of my life. That needs to be – that had to be his response. But even if he wanted to be human about it, think about this, Ben. Even if he wanted to be like, okay, dude, I'll help you out. You give him a loan, right? Don't you say, hey, I don't know what he does with this money I'm loaning him. I'm loaning him this money. Here's the rate. Here's the everything.
Yep.
And so it's on the up and up. So you're not connected to it. You know what you don't do?
Pay it off secretly.
From your own bank account.
Yep. Right now it's moronic. Now it's a big deal.
It's crazy how dumb it is.
And they said he never bet on baseball. They said it was only basketball and world soccer. the fact that everyone has lied in this situation already makes me think we're going to find out they gambled on baseball. That would be my guess. And as they continue to dig into this thing and where the names are associated and where these bets were placed, this is going to get worse before it gets better.
It would be so crazy if gambling brought down the biggest sports star on the planet, at a time when all the leagues are saying, oh, there's no problem us getting into bed with these gambling companies. No problem at all. Integrity is fine, fine. Don't even
don't look into it.
Don't even give it a second thought.
Yep.
I mean, it would change everything.
Huge.
It would change. I mean, the leagues themselves would have to. I wonder if it would change teams going to Vegas.
I mean, did you see what the NBA is doing? Their League Pass now is going to feature links to gambling right on the League Pass while you watch the games. Like, it's no secret that this is intermingled now. It's no secret that this is all everyone's dancing together. So, yeah, that would be a – I mean, it's already a huge story. It's only going to get bigger.
Huge story.
Yep.
All right, we're live at JCW's here in American Fork. Come see us, 580 East State Street. So easy to get to. I think I might go order.
Go do it. I'll do it in the next break.
It smells good. I'm hungry.
And the Cougar fans are starting to roll in.
Oh, man. You know, I used to hate these days when I just produced and you didn't Sarah's
listening
shoes,
to us eat.
Sitting back there in the studio, probably a little hungry.
I'll take a photo of my food and I'll send it to you, Sarah.
Here's Ben talking about his jalapeno burger.
It'll make you feel better. You can imagine what I'm eating.
How delicious it is.
I can't wait.
Just sitting back there. What'd you bring for lunch today, Sarah? Did you pack a lunch?
No, I didn't. Maybe I need to drive somewhere. All the way to JCW's.
You should.
Yeah,
absolutely, you should. All right, we'll have more coming up next. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Your exclusive home of the Utah Jazz is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Showtime! The Utah Jazz are in Dallas tonight, taking on Luka Doncic and the Mavericks. Pre-game starts at 5:30 with tip-off at 6:30.
Catch every second of every game of Utah Jazz basketball right here on The Zone. You're listening to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's the 50 segment on Jake and Ben, brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology in doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255, Peach Doors and Windows. We are live today at JCW's in American Fork. Come see us, 580 East State Street. I just ordered my food, Ben. I'm so excited. I got my go-to bacon ranch burger and fries, although I always debate between the fries and the onion rings because both are fantastic. I went with fries this time. I'm super excited about it. Come see us. BYU not off to a great start. They trail Duquesne 9-2 with about 14 minutes left to go in the first half.
11-2. And an and one.
Ugh, not great for the Cougs. Caller 12 right now, 801-575-ZONE. We're going to hook you up with a pair of tickets to go see Breaking Benjamin and Stained at Utah First Credit Union Amphitheater on October 5th. Caller 12, 801-575-ZONE. That's 801-575-ZONE.
BYU is bigger than Duquesne, but they are not moving as quickly. BYU is a little flustered by the aggressive defense of Duquesne right now, not generating good looks. And look a little nervous. Even Jackson Robinson, who's one of the best three-point shooters in the country, has already airballed a three.
Well, we talked about it. You knew Duquesne was going to show up. I mean, they've got all the motivation in the world.
Yep,
they're playing with nothing to lose.
Nothing to lose. It's such a huge advantage.
And that's why the NCAA tournament is wild. That's why we see so many upsets because, what teams stay focused and beat the team that really wants it, you know? What team is not the starting running back in Rudy? Remember, he was like, why are you playing so hard, bro? You know, Duquesne and these teams, they're just not going to lose it. You know, we watch when Utah State's gone out in the past where they don't have a great seed and they're just overmatched. You know, you lose
right
to Arizona and it's just, you know, you played your heart out, but you're overmatched. It wasn't going to happen. Duquesne's going to give it all they got. BYU's got to play better. 12-2.
I mean, missing layups. They're 0 of 8 from the floor. Their only points are from the free throw line. So, as bad a start as you can have for BYU.
Oh, playing tight.
There's, we're 6 minutes into this game. They've not made a shot.
Oh, man, that's rough.
You got to make some shots.
Gotta make something.
Yeah. Horrendous.
Well, you certainly can't miss layups. I mean, that's, you know, you talk about, oh, is BYU going to make their threes? Well, why don't we start with layups?
And then
we'll see how it goes from there.
Michigan State up on Mississippi State 29-18. Michigan State jumped out to a big lead 20-8. Mississippi State cut it to 5, and then it's been all Michigan State.
The Cougs just canned a 3, so they're now down 12-5. Can I say that BYU is looking good? The white-on-white uniforms of theirs are absolutely my favorite.
Yeah, they look good. Maybe white and blue is an easy color, easy match. I can't tell you what Duquesne's colors are from this angle.
Looks like pink.
Looks like old Detroit Pistons, maybe.
I don't know.
And by the way, if you're doing the same thing I have, I've got the Michigan State Mississippi State game pulled up on my iPad. I brought my iPad down here, and you said switch over to the BYU game. I can't because it's on True TV, and nobody has True TV. That's why you need to come on down to JCW.
To JCW's, yes,
because they do have True TV.
True TV, it is up. I assure you, we are watching the game as we speak. And the Cougs are down 14-5. Was it one of everybody's key? I always heard the same thing from everybody over and over again. BYU's got to get off to a good start. Got to get off to a good start, man. Well, that didn't happen.
That did not happen.
That did not indeed happen.
Well, now you got to close strong.
Are we looking at a UVA-type situation where they score 14 points?
Well, that would be rough.
In the first half?
I mean, that's what they're on pace for, almost exactly.
Hey, want to remind you about the Hercules Hero of the Week. Nominate the youth sports volunteer that you know for the Hercules Hero of the Week. Submit your nomination at kslsports.com/contests. And listen every Thursday afternoon to JJ and Alex for the winner. Help us celebrate the efforts of those volunteers making an impact with the Hercules Hero of the Week, sponsored by Hercules Credit Union. Oh, that's not mine. I was hoping that one was mine.
That one's yours.
No, it's not. That's the pastrami. Is it really?
That's not pastrami.
That's
bacon.
Oh, is that bacon? Oh, yeah. I'm so excited.
I'm going to go order next.
All right, stay tuned. We'll have more for you coming up next. David Locke is going to join us, 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, live from JCW's in American Fork, 580 East State Street. We're watching NCAA tournament games. We've got the BYU game up in front of us. They trail Duquesne 17-10 with 10:16 left to go in the first half. We'll keep you updated on that game. But right now, it is time to talk some Utah Jazz basketball with the radio voice of the Utah Jazz. His visit on the show is brought to you by Bucked Up Energy. Real ingredients, real focus, unreal energy. Visit buckedup.com to find your local retail store and mention the code KSL in store to get your free energy drink. No purchase necessary. He's the one and only David Locke. What's going on, David?
You know, I should have taken BYU in my bracket.
I did too. I had BYU winning this game. They should win this game, you would think. David, I know you're an NBA guy and you're super dialed in and don't dive into the world of college basketball, but do you still get excited about this day, you know, about the first days of the tournament?
Well, I mean, I think sports is great. Sports is like nothing else. Buzzer beaters are great. Kids running up and down the floor, diving on top of each other at the end of the game, wins, tears of losses, all the emotions that come with sports are absolutely fabulous. So, you know, this is, thing, you know, one and done, single display, competition. It's great. Like, there's very few things better than the opening weekend of the NCAA tournament in the realm of, you know, emotions, storylines, underdogs, pressure, all those kind of things. So if you're a sports fan, like, yeah, you have to love this.
David, I got asked an interesting question the other day in the mailbag that I do, and it was, if the Jazz win the lottery, just say move up into the top four picks, let's not even say number one overall, but move up into the lottery, does that make it more likely or less likely they keep the draft pick this year, or you know, versus trading it, or if they stay at 9 or 10, do you think a trade is highly likely?
So, if you're trading the top four pick of an NBA draft, you've got to get a player that you believe is what level? Potential superstar? Current superstar? Or all-star?
It's got to be at least a consistent all-star, because you look at the top four picks, and I kind of wrote this as well. Generally, there's one really high-level all-star taken in every top four picks. There's two really high-level rotation players and one bust. I mean, almost universally you find that. So the odds that you might have a 25% chance of getting a top four or a, you know, really high-level all-star in those top four picks means you got to get something really good back.
Right. And, I mean, you could get Patrick Williams, so you got to be a little careful, right?
Absolutely.
So is Jaylen Brown – they will have just won the title, so this seems a little unlikely. But is Jaylen Brown a caliber player? I'm just trying to think of a player that's well enough known without a lot of, like, controversy around him. Would you trade Jaylen Brown for the fourth pick of the draft?
Yeah, I mean, the other name, obviously, I think that's going to be out there that will be interesting, and I don't know how much controversy there is around them other than their style of play is a Trae Young type.
Right. So that was the name I was avoiding because of the controversy of the style of play.
Yeah.
So you and I are 100% on the exact same page right now. I mean, those are the two. Like, if you go down, I think what's really hard about the rebuild and everything that's going on is if you go down the Ringer top 100, and I'm sure you've done this because you just listed the two names. There's, like, Trae Young, Jaylen Brown, and there's one other – De'Aaron Fox if Sacramento busts. Like, I don't think Sacramento's about to trade De'Aaron Fox, but you never know. Like, De'Aaron Fox will be like, I'm out. I'm done. Like, I tried to.
Yeah.
Those are, like, the three best – and that last one's a total reach. And, frankly, Jaylen Brown's a total reach because they're just going to have won a title, and Trae Young's probably available. Those are the players. So I don't think – I think if you get the top four pick, you're not trading it. Because I don't think you're trading the top four pick for any of those players. And then also, unless I misunderstand our cap situation, for us to trade for Jaylen Brown, we'd have to move a decent amount of money we don't have. So my take on that is if we got the top four pick, we're taking it. And seeing what we can get. And hopefully finding something we really like. Obviously, we watched last night, like, a number two pick, Chet Holmgren's pretty good. Like, that kid is great.
Yep.
And, you know, it's Paolo Banchero is really good, and Orlando might have made a mistake. Like, that's how good Chet Holmgren is. In fact, I'm pretty certain Orlando made a mistake. If you can go get one of those, certainly. And we have, if you're at 9 or 8, you have, like, a 25% chance to do that. So it's not an outlandish concept in the new lottery that the Jazz – pop up to the top four.
David, I did this exercise on the pregame show, and I ran it past Ben the other day, and I'll run it past you. The top four teams in the West right now are Oklahoma City, Denver, Minnesota, and the Clippers. Put those. I don't know what you're doing right now.
He wants to put the Pelicans in there.
Who's the top four teams in the West?
I'm looking at it right now. Oklahoma City, Denver, Minnesota, and the Clippers.
I know, but who are the four best teams in the West right now?
You want to throw the Pelicans in? I'm fine with that. What's that? And the Kings?
Getting close. Sorry, say that again?
And the Kings?
Or the Mavericks?
No, I just think the Pelicans are playing great and the Clippers aren't. So I think I think the Pelicans are going to catch the Clippers.
All right, fair enough. Put those teams in order. Let's say those five teams, and you just got started there with the Clippers. But put those teams in order of teams you would least like to face in the playoffs if you were one of these other teams.
So, I mean, Denver's better than everyone by a large margin.
Right.
They're just continuity, their togetherness, their understanding how to play, their calmness, their Jokic-ness. They're better than everyone else. Oklahoma City is better than Minnesota. More versatile, better at more things, more athletic, probably more difficult to play. Minnesota's offense is not great and will not be as good defensively in the playoffs as they were in the regular season. So the first team I wouldn't want to play is Denver. The second team I might not want to play is the Pelicans. The number one pick and roll player in the NBA since, I think, January 1st is Zion Williamson. And, like, I just don't know how you guard him. And if we get into set plays and things of that nature, the Pelicans just have a lot of different things they can do. Now, there's some reasons why I'm not totally sold on them. Like, one of the criticisms I would have of them is that when they're outside of their set plays, they don't seem to know what how to freelance and how to just play. And so I think as you get into a playoff series, I think they're going to struggle as the series goes on. But they might be the second hardest out in the Western Conference. Is that crazy?
I don't think it's crazy. No.
Oklahoma City's probably the second hardest out. But they're right up there right now.
Okay, well, let's continue this conversation. 2 years from now, Anthony Edwards or Shai Gilgeous-Alexander?
I don't know, but I was totally thinking the same thing. You, like, this is a little eerie, Ben. By the way, I just want to correct myself. I don't know if Zion doesn't qualify anymore, but Jason Tatum's the number one point guard in the NBA since January 1st. I wonder why maybe I put the amount of point plays up too high for Zion. I'll have to check and see what I just did wrong if he didn't show up. So I will quickly correct that number and see if it was top 100 guards or something that was top 60. Top 90, Zion is the fourth best pick and roll guard since January 1st, so it must have been since February 1st. Can I take us on a little side note on that just for a second?
Yep.
Like on how the game's changing? I did this last night on the air on a different number. Here are, since January 1st, here are the best pick and roll players in the NBA of those top 90 players, 90 most frequent pick and rollers. 6'8", Jason Tatum. 6'8", Paul George. 7'1", Zion, or 7'1", Giannis Antetokounmpo. 6'9", and whatever else, Zion Williamson. 6'8", Luka Doncic. Damian Lillard. 6'8", Scottie Barnes before he got hurt. 6'6", Jalen Williams. And then, so the top eight, there's a point guard in that group. Everyone else is 6'6 or taller. Isn't that crazy? Like to where the league's going? At least I think it's crazy. So Shai Gilgeous-Alexander or Anthony Edwards, I think I'm still going Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, but boy, Anthony Edwards has answered a ton of questions this year about time, score, understanding the game. Pure talent, I think Anthony Edwards is probably superior. I think Shea's a better player at this point.
Would you take either one of them over Luka?
No.
Who we'll see tonight, of course.
You know, if I were the Jazz and I could take every draft pick, every asset, it would get me a player in the NBA, I think that player is Luka.
David, we were talking kind of along those lines in the writer's room the other day about the offseason for the Utah Jazz. And would you be better off, again, I'll bring up Trae Young, with a player like Trae Young at this point and say, well, I know it's not the Luka Doncic, Giannis Antetokounmpo superstar I think a lot of people have hoped would become available at some point, but it's better than nothing? Or are you better going off and trying to get an Isaiah Hartenstein, which is a name I've kind of talked about a lot, and an Alex Caruso, which are the types of role players good teams generally have, and say go with that until the star player hangs around, becomes available? Or are you better just continuing to be a borderline playoff team that can punt at the trade deadline every year to try and get a top pick?
So, a lot of questions here. Very complicated answer. So I will do the best I can. So the first one I would say is on all of these trades, I generally have thought that you're better off just going to get the best player because you might trade them one day.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, on the Zach LaVine conversation, I understand Zach LaVine. I might have been wrong on this, but Zach LaVine's become, like, you know, seemingly toxic at this point with just the way the Bulls have played better without him. But when there's Zach LaVine, he's got this terrible contract and this and that. Like, but if we had traded for Zach LaVine, he was our second-best player. And if we had traded three pieces that were non-top 100 players for Zach LaVine because his contract's so bad and everything else, like, our talent would be up. And then if we wanted to spin Zach LaVine in a year or two, we were getting more for Zach LaVine than we would have for those other three players in 2 years. Like, it's just the progression of your assets and how you use it. So to me, like, everyone, like, trade. I ask everyone whether, like, that's my going question right now when we're just noodling. Like, would you trade for Trae Young? And everyone's answer is no, and my answer is yes. He immediately gives you a top 10 offense because he's a genius. And two, I do think he's a tradable asset that's better than any other tradable asset we would have on our roster that we give up for Trae Young. Which means I think our assets are better, and we can then trade one of them for a better player. Like, that's just the way I view it. So, like, I love Isaiah Hartenstein. It might, you know, really interesting discussion of whether he deserves to be defense player of the year. The Knicks seem to be better with him. The Clippers seem to have been better with him. Like, I love him. I think he's a great player. But I don't think Isaiah Hartenstein and two other first-round draft picks is yielding you your next scoop of a player. But I do think, like, someone like Trae Young, and you add two first-round, you know, let's say you trade Trae Young and a few first-round draft picks that you have, like, wow, what are you getting? Right? Some other front office can say,
that's a huge package.
Yeah, like, that's a huge package. Isaiah Hartenstein, and I don't remember who the second player, Alex Caruso, two first-round picks, is not a huge package.
No.
So that's how I view this, is, like, what's the asset that we could move again? It also just depends on what you're trying. There's a bunch of things I think are really problematic in a rebuild. This is just such, sorry, I don't mean to just go on it. Like, I obviously think about this all the time, so. Like, two of the things I think are super in a rebuild are when you're asking young players to go beyond what their natural NBA level is going to be, and then you get disappointed with them. So that's Aaron Gordon, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Malik Monk, all those kind of players who actually are really good players probably for an NBA championship team, as Aaron Gordon's proven, and whose first team got super disappointed with them because they overextended what they were capable of doing. And then, but also to the player's point, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope looked around and turns like, oh, I'm the best player on the team, and then tried to play like, and it's not that good. And same thing Aaron Gordon. So the first thing is, I think that, like, you can really lose some of these young players when if the field's just totally wide open for them, and then they think they're the best player on the floor, and then they're not good enough to do that, then everyone gets frustrated with everyone, and it's a bad script. The second thing that kind of plays into this is, like, let's say you have Aaron Gordon, and Aaron Gordon is a third piece on a championship team, proven last year, and really great at it. Well, if he's been your number one for 3 years, and then you bring in two players, he's not going to be okay being your third piece. He's only going to be okay being someone else's third piece. And so I think that's one of the things where the rebuild gets really complicated, is that when you suddenly have someone on your roster who's got high volume and really important and averaging 19 a game, and then you bring in your next two pieces and you tell that same player, let's say it's Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, oh, now you're going to be our fifth best player, and you're going to just shit in the corner and shoot threes, but for the last 2 years, he was the number two guy on the offense. He's not real pleased with that. And so I think these things are really hard to do. And so I do think there's some real value in having maybe Trae Young's not, using Trae Young or Zach LaVine as examples, maybe they're not your championship piece. There's no real doubt what their role is, and maybe it puts everybody else in the correct role, and then you move them out for a better piece, and then you're a championship team, but you actually maximize all of your other pieces because they aren't miscast in the process. Does that make any sense at all? No.
Absolutely. As always, David. Yeah. Makes a ton of sense. You're always making sense. We appreciate you. Thanks for jumping on with us. Hopefully you'll find a spot where you can watch some of these games before the Jazz game tonight, and I'll talk to you on pregame.
Thanks, David.
Can I ask you guys a quick question? Can I ask you? I know you guys are running late. I have a quick question because I snapped today. I'm, like, super sour today. Never mind. I'm going to hold that thought.
No, ask it.
Ask
away.
You can't
now
set
we're curious.
Up, yeah.
Yeah.
How can the same people that are sitting around and about the Jazz trading three players at the deadline, 3 weeks later claim the team doesn't have a direction.
Yeah, Jake and I have both never understood the there's no plan conversation and narrative that's emerged.
What are people talking about?
David, don't you have those people in your life who complain about everything? I mean, I really think about Kevin Graham first and foremost when I have this conversation. But you could hand them like $50 and they'd be like, what? It's not 200? You know, they just complain about everything. Well, that exists in fan bases where they're just going to complain about everything. And now, thanks to social media, they're louder than ever. So that would be my answer.
Yeah, their volume got me today. And the idea, by the way, that OKC is like some master model is such crap.
Like, I think
they hit on Chet Holmgren and Jalen Williams and Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. Okay, so they traded for a really good player, and they had a million draft picks, and they've shot like 2 for 7 on them, and they hit on 2 of them. Like, what? That's not a model. Like, what is that? Like, that's a plan? That they hit. That's their freaking plan. If they hit. Because Orlando and Sacramento and Washington arguably had a freaking plan too, and they didn't hit.
Ever.
Yeah. Orlando's been trying to hit for a long time.
Yeah.
Minnesota's
right.
had the number
so
one pick three times. They finally hit. Yeah.
Right. They just didn't hit. Like, Jalen Williams is an awesome draft pick. That's awesome. They deserve it. Chet Holmgren was an obvious one, but it's still they deserve it. And they blew Trey Mann and Pokuševski and Josh Giddey and Jang, and they traded 2 second-round draft picks they will never convey for Alfred Şengün. Like, they've blown a ton of – that's not a plan then. Oh, my God, something didn't work. It's not – like, you want the most clearly vivid plan move I've ever seen? Trading Ochai Agbaji. To me, that was like – well, that's big guts right there. And they might have been right. Because the best thing you can do is trade a guy a year early than a year late. Like, yep. If we were about to drop Ochai Agbaji from the rotation and destroy all value and we got a first-round pick for him, that's pretty awesome.
Well, in simple pattern recognition, they did the exact same thing last year. Minus right. Ochai Agbaji. But, you repeat the same process twice. That's the definition of a plan, right? You make right. the same trades at the trade deadline 2 times in a row. It's kind of obvious what they're doing.
Right. I mean, if you just want to act like you're smarter than everyone and complain all the time and be unhappy, go for it. Super fun.
Thank you, David.
Thanks,
Talk
David.
To you tonight, dude.
Yeah.
The one and only David Locke. And look, I know that about complainers because we can smell our own.
And, hey, look, that's not to say the Jazz are going to hit. I mean, to David Locke's point, the Jazz still have to hit all these draft picks. Danny Ainge and Justin Zanuck are setting themselves up to have draft picks. Now you have to hit the draft picks. That's the hard part about the gamble. You can guarantee yourself draft picks. You can't guarantee they're going to pay off. Danny Ainge and Justin Zanuck are saying we are good enough at our jobs and the scouts on this team are good enough to find the right players to make this rebuild successful. And that's a huge gamble, but that is the plan.
Well, they have to hit on some.
Some,
they
but
don't
yes,
even
not
have
all,
to hit on
which
all.
Is why they want
to
have 15 picks.
Yep. All right. Get an in-depth look at the ups and downs of Nickelback's roller coaster career when the Hate to Love Nickelback comes to the big screen for 2 days on March 27th and 30th. Book tickets now at nickelbackfilm.com or visit kslsports.com to enter to win tickets to a screening near you. Ben, do we have an update real quick?
31-21, Duquesne.
Duquesne leading BYU now 33-21.
BYU is shooting 6 of 21 from the floor.
Not well.
Which is an issue.
Stay tuned. We'll have more coming up next live from JCW's in American Fork. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Whether it's the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, or Aggies, these guys have got you covered.
Time to eat, fellas.
You're locked on to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
1, 2, 3,
on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben live from JCW's in American Fork. Jake Scott, Ben Anderson, come by and see us. We've got the BYU game up right now. The Cougars trail Duquesne 36-30 with 20 seconds left to go in the first half.
38-30 now. Layup from Duquesne.
Want to remind you to get the official debit cards of the Jazz, University of Utah, Real Salt Lake, and more exclusively at America First Credit Union. I think BYU is going to be fine.
Well, one thing we've learned this year about BYU is the halftime score has absolutely nothing to do with the final outcome of the game. BYU can be down by 17. They can be up by 15. It really does not matter.
It doesn't matter. Duquesne obviously has come out like with their hair on fire. I mean, they are playing tough. They are playing physical. They're playing fast. And BYU has, I think, been rattled a little bit about that, certainly shaken their shooting. But when BYU puts together a couple of possessions, they've gotten back in it pretty easily. They've erased a couple of nine-point leads so far, and now they're going into the half down 38-30. I think BYU still wins this.
BYU's advantage is at the free throw line, where they are 7 of 9. Duquesne has attempted just one free throw. It was an and one, so that's good. BYU's not sending them to the line for easy baskets. The problem is the baskets are coming too easy without free throws. Duquesne's getting a lot of layups, a lot of easier shots inside the paint, where BYU is just 4 of 12 inside the arc. They're 5 of 14 from 3. That's fine. That's probably good enough most nights, but you can't be 9 of 26 overall.
Yeah, and I think they'll tighten that up. I don't think I would bet on BYU in the second half if I were a betting man. Michigan State right now leads. The 9th seed is up on the 8th seed, Mississippi State, 43-30. Looking like the Spartans are going to advance. And then just underway, Ben, 14-seed Akron takes on your champion, 3-seed Creighton.
I'd be in real trouble if this game goes south.
Creighton is up 8-6. Yeah, go Zips.
If Creighton doesn't make some noise soon, my bracket's going to be in real trouble.
Starting at noon in the West Regional at Delta Center, Long Beach State was taking on 2-seed Arizona. And, man, I hope Long Beach State wins.
I think we all do.
I love that story. Did you hear him? What's his name? Mullen? I'll look it up. Sorry. Coach Lacombe knows him really well. But he was talking about the
– Monson.
Monson. Thank you. He was talking about the George Costanza Seinfeld, where he's like the guy when George was trying to get fired. He talked about how he's not getting paid and doesn't have health insurance. How dumb is Long Beach State? Like, if you're going to fire the guy, you fire him. You don't let him keep coaching.
You do it right after the game, and then you put him in front of a microphone. That's what I would do. Stanford did it. Utah State did it with their women's basketball coach. That's what I would do.
I don't get it. Go win that tournament. Go to the NCAA and drag us through the mud the whole time.
Yeah.
If I were Monson, I would break my leg on the job or something, too, so I could sue him.
No, he's been very funny. He's been very good. Who was it? Was it R.J. Hampton? Was it his dad who was the coach? Remember who was coaching from the seat? Because didn't he tear his Achilles?
Oh, yeah, while he was jumping up and down. Yeah.
So lucky Rick Majerus didn't do that in the Mountain West Conference tournament. Or was it the – when was it? Rick's jumping Van Horn hit the –
But didn't tear his Achilles.
No, he didn't. Thank goodness.
How funny is it, celebration injuries? Is that the worst way to get hurt in sports?
It's up there. And it happens –
Like you're celebrating
like
and
once
you get
every
hurt?
3 or 4 years, there's like a very major injury.
Like I would rather get hurt being angry than get hurt celebrating. Like remember when Amare Stoudemire cut his hand because he punched the – what did he punch? Wasn't it a fire extinguisher, like break glass in case of fire? And he punched it and lacerated his hand and had to miss a bunch of games.
Jaden McDaniels last year going to the playoffs from the Timberwolves. Didn't he punch a wall after getting ejected and broke his hand?
Yep. Oh, and his Kanter broke his arm because he – smashed his arm down on a chair, and the chair was a folding one, and it gave way and broke his arm. But I'd rather have that than Bill Gramatica jumping up and down after he made a field goal and shred his ACL. Getting hurt celebrating is worse.
Was it Tony Allen in the NBA who tore his ACL on a dunk after the whistle? Something like that. You know what I mean? Just went in to throw it down and came down weird, and his knee just gave out, and everyone was like,
Way to go, buddy. Yeah, getting hurt obviously is never, is never a good thing. But I think there are better ways to get hurt. You know, like, oh man, I tore my ACL scrambling after this ball. You know, it was coming down last minute. All this really sacrificed for the team. How'd you get hurt? Oh man, I was doing a little shimmy dance for the crowd.
Remember how Antoine Walker used to shimmy after his shots? I did that. And I dislocated his shoulder. Yeah, that's a tough one.
That's the worst.
Yeah.
That is the worst. We'll see what happens, though. The Cougs down 8. at half. I expect him to come out and make some more shots in the second half. Kind of fun that we've had the Cougs playing this morning. Things are definitely picking up around here at JCW's. Come by and get your lunch, get your food. I just inhaled a bacon ranch bacon burger. Ben's making light work of
four-fifths of the way into my jalapeno burger. Man, it's so good.
I know. JCW's so great. I can't believe we get to do it again tomorrow.
Hey, you know what's kind of nice? You pay at the register. They bring you your food. End of transaction.
Yeah. You don't have to do the tip thing?
Yeah, there's not. It's really easy.
It's like, listen, I am not a like a thrifty tipper by any means.
Sure.
Like I'm more than willing to tip. But it is pretty amazing what services are asking for tips these days.
And they're
days.
Not flipping it's, the screen around
yeah,
on you being like, okay.
Pretty
and,
wild.
And
that's the most awkward thing ever, too, where they're pretending not to look while they flick the screen. You know, you're getting a dirty look if you say no thanks. They're not into that at JCW's.
You know what I couldn't do? You ever do, like, a drive-through coffee shop or something?
Yes.
You know, and, like, the cashier asks you if you want a tip? Like, they say it out loud? Like, I generally will anyways, regardless. But I couldn't have been the cashier in that situation.
But that's not supposed to be the point. A tip is supposed to be a little gratuity.
Gratuity.
Right.
Now it's gratuitous.
Now it's required. It's like a whole societal shaming thing.
Yeah, it is.
It's really too bad.
I could never ask anybody for a tip. I never could have said that out loud. So a shout out to the baristas and whoever out there has to ask for a tip.
And you and I both drove airport shuttle
Absolutely.
Vans.
We were in
I
the
never
tipping
asked
business.
For it. Yeah.
Oh, of course not. If they want to do it, they get to do it. And if they don't, you know, doesn't
in fact, there
have to be thrilled.
There was a dude at the hotel I worked at that put a little sign up that, you know, kind of said tips appreciated. They got mad at him.
I'm sure.
Take that down.
And again, not dealing with that here at JCW.
No, that's not, they pay their employees fairly. They don't need your extra little generosity. They'll take care of their people, and you're going to have a great lunch. So come on by and enjoy it. We're here at the location in American Fork. We've got the NCAA tournament games going on. Come by and see Ben in all his glory. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Your exclusive home of the Utah Jazz is right here on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
It's showtime!
The Utah Jazz are in Dallas tonight, taking on Luka Doncic and the Mavericks. Pregame starts at 5:30 with tip-off at 6:30.
Catch every second of every game of Utah Jazz basketball right here on The Zone. You're listening to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jacob Ed, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. The 50 segment brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology on doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255. Peach Doors and Windows. We're live today from JCW's here at American Fork. Come watch the tournament with us. We're going to be here all day long. And tomorrow we're going to be at the JCW's in Harriman, so excited to partner with them for this first round of NCAA tournament action. So come watch the games with us, 580 East State Street here in American Fork, JCW's. I don't know about you, Ben, but, man, am I satisfied from that delicious meal. I was, so hungry, famished, if you will. And now, I just feel fed and content.
Happy. I'm feeling happy right now. Yeah, I got that jalapeno burger down, ate all the fries, got myself a nice big Coke in front of me. Life's good. Basketball's on. Hard to beat.
Sarah, what food do you have in front of you right now?
What are you eating today, Sarah?
You know, you don't have to rub it in. I don't have any food.
By the way, if you are a fan, as we all are, of the world-famous Sarah, she has promised to try and join us tomorrow at the Harriman location.
Oh, she got someone filling in?
No, just she's going to come hang out after the show. What are you talking about?
She's going to do what everyone else does today and tomorrow, is just take off work?
Yes.
To come and watch basketball?
Yes.
She's,
and by the way, it
plays
is
an
working.
Role in what we do.
It is working for Sarah. She can work anywhere.
Yeah, I can bring my computer.
Yeah.
You're
going to
run the board from here? That'd be fun.
No, I'm talking about after the show.
Oh, I thought you were during our show. I was like, no, Sarah, that's not going to work.
You can come during the show.
I like the idea.
Make Lloyd do it.
I'm encouraged by the concept.
But you should join us at JCW's either today here in American Fork or coming up tomorrow in Harriman. And we do have jazz stuff to give away, and we have some candies, some KSL Sports T-shirts, all sorts of good stuff if you drop by and see us and want to just grab a freebie. Michigan State leads Mississippi State 59-45. Ben, not looking good for the Bulldogs. And then Creighton leads Akron, albeit barely, 18-17.
By a bucket. Eh, it's early.
So Ben's got Creighton going all the way. What do you have them to the finals?
Finals, yeah. I've got them losing to UConn in the championship game.
And they're struggling with the Zips. Although I'm sure Creighton, like BYU, is going to be fine. BYU's down 8 at the half, 38-30. And I bet they come out shooting. And BYU ends up winning going away. That's my prediction. And you pointed out this in the last segment. They've actually done that multiple times this year.
Yeah.
But they've also had to go the other way on them. But in this case, they're not up. They're down.
One of their fatal flaws has always been, can you get into the paint off the dribble? And Duquesne can and BYU cannot. And that makes life so easy when you can get into the paint because you either have a layup, you get fouled, or you can kick the ball out when you have your three-point shooters. And so much of BYU's three-point shooting really has kind of come from swirling the ball on the perimeter, some of those dribble handoffs, which work, but they're not running a ton of it today, and Duquesne's blowing it up very well because they've had a week to scout it, which is one of the advantages I think BYU has had against a lot of teams in the Big 12 is you only have a couple of days to scout BYU. You're not really doing that in season as much as you are in the tournament, and it's harder to blow up some of their sets.
And Duquesne's playing really salty D right now. They're out there playing hard. Yeah. So that's the magic of the NCAA tournament is everybody has a chance, but I would guess BYU bounces back in the second half and comes out shooting the ball a little bit better.
Hands walked in, and he ate four wings as soon as he walked in. We set the over-under at 19.5. He's already four down. So we're at, what, 15.5 now, and his show hasn't even started.
He's actually at zero.
He's at four. I watched him eat four as soon as he walked in. He went and rinsed his hands off, and he'll be on the mic in no time. And he's already found friends. Would you believe Hans has found some BYU friends here?
Ben, what county are we in right now?
Yeah, Hans County.
Utah County is Hans's county.
Hans
this
county.
This is not only does he live in Utah County, but he's basically the county mayor. He's known everywhere. He's very popular.
He should run for office.
He's on the BYU football broadcast.
I want to see Hans run for office because I want to see what type of scandals come out.
Oh, about Hans?
Yeah.
Well,
like slumlord or something.
I know of some rum theft in his day.
We want you to run for office, Hans,
yeah,
so we can figure out what type of skeletons are in your closet when somebody runs a dirty campaign against you.
Yeah, right. The Oppo research is, I think, what they say. And they're going to look into your employment history, too. They say, why did you get fired from your
mom's those tax returns.
From your mom's candy store?
This is the biggest problem. Jake knows every backstory and every word I've ever had. So if I did run for office, all they'd have to do is call Jake.
Call Jake.
Oh, because I'm pretty sure Jake would out me.
I wouldn't sell you out for free.
No, but you bring a JCW's burger into the picture, and Jake will talk.
Oh, it's going to run you. It's going to cost you.
No, but here's the problem is Hans knows just as much about me as I do about him. So it's like that. What do they call that in the Cold War? Mutually assured destruction?
Destruction so we've got, and agreement.
Yeah, we got one of those things going where it's like, you know what? I trust Hans more than most people, actually.
Yeah. It's funny. It's funny because you and I, we'll get after each other a little bit, but. But we do. And we all have these old segments from way back in the past.
Yep.
I was just thinking about one of yours on the drive here. You know, every time the sun comes out, I'm like, man, I kind of miss that old school Jake's, you know, the Jake show years ago.
No.
I know you always hit me with my old segments. I'm always like, you know, we do. We've got stuff that we'd rather just leave in the dirt.
You know, you haven't played the Boise drop in a while because I was describing that to somebody the other day who never heard it.
I think that Nate Dowdle put down a mandate that drop is.
Did
no
that one
enough.
Get scrubbed?
Yeah, it got buried.
Did that one get scrubbed?
It got buried.
That was like one of your first days on the job.
It
with
was
that.
Week
that was
one.
Like your very first drop.
Week one, no doubt about it. But
did it really? Is that no longer? Is that?
Yeah, I think it
is
got
that drop gone.
Yeah, I think it got put the.
Hans is my favorite.
Put the pasture.
My favorite drop of Hans's ever. It got lost somewhere and. For the life of me, I couldn't find it. But Hans was put 12 taffies in his mouth at the same time and then started talking as if he had a candy problem, like it was an AA meeting. And his mouth is full of taffies. He's like, I think I have a problem. I
did have a problem with that. The saltwater taffy was a real problem. I did, and I fit 12 full pieces in my mouth. It was one of those moments, Ben, where you feel like you've done something with your life.
We have a little fight between BYU and Duquesne. Hey, I like a little scrappiness. Hey, we set the over-under on wings you could eat in one sitting at 19.5.
So,
no, not can, would.
Would.
Today.
Yeah, right, would. When you go to and get wings.
What constitutes a sitting?
Yeah.
What constitutes a sitting?
A meal. I mean, I'm not saying over a day, but like an event like this, you're watching a game.
I think you're right on it.
You can crush 20 wings.
I think you're right on it. I could get to 12 comfortably.
You could get to 40 comfortably. Don't give me that. Yes, you could.
There was a time. And JCW's wings are really big. If we're talking about JCW's wings.
Yeah, they're big.
I just had them last time I was here. And I ate 6 of them, and it was like, ooh, that's a lot.
You know who wouldn't get the 19 wings? Our buddy Christian Cox. He'd probably get to about 2.5, and they'd be
two
like,
wings.
Oh, I can't do it.
Eats like a bird?
Well, tell the story. Tell Ben that.
Well, Scotty and I were going back and forth with some food bets, and Christian called in and was like, oh, you guys are weak or something. And we said, well, how many hot dogs could you eat? And remember, it was during that Ford fan zone.
We were talking about how many hot dogs you could eat in like a sitting.
And he said, I could put down a dozen. So Jenny goes out, gets a dozen, brings it down to the preview show. He ate 1.5, and he was like,
I'm done.
I'm not getting a dozen. He quit at 1.5.
Had one and
Scotty
half hot dogs.
Scotty had 10.5 hot dogs that he had to haul around. He took them home. He said his boys got through a few of them, but
Christian ate 1.5
and quit.
Oh, dude, he was talking to like I could put down a dozen easy. Yeah. It's not like he got to like 7 or 8 and was like, I don't think I can go anymore.
Yeah, and he quit. You guys enjoying this first couple of games tipping off?
I just love the tournament.
In the hierarchy of sporting events, where's the NCAA tournament for you guys?
Go ahead there, Ben.
I honestly would probably put it above the Super Bowl for me. And I love the Super Bowl.
Okay.
And I like getting together and watching the Super Bowl and talking about it. But, like, the fact that this lasts for the next 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks, you know, and the stories that unfold and the names that are made, the legends that are made, yeah, this is the best.
I mean, there's the Days of 47 Rodeo.
Yeah.
It's always on my bucket
list. It's always on top.
It's right there. And then is it NCAA tournament for you?
I love the Super Bowl. I love college football, but I don't think the national championship has become as transcendent. Is that the word I'm looking for?
As
it's not as special as the NCAA tournament. You know, we were talking about you've got to be a big deal if you break into a work day. Like, you're a huge deal in the middle of the day on a work day. Like, I was talking about, like, Cubs baseball sails out on a Tuesday at noon.
Yep.
You know Cubs baseball is a big deal. You know, work in this country comes to a screeching halt today and tomorrow.
You're right.
Because of this event. And hopefully a lot of people are going to come, you know, play hooky from work here at JCW's. But it happens everywhere, right? You know? So, I don't know. I don't know if I have an answer to you for your hands. But today is certainly one of those days that's up there. No doubt.
Well, there's a scrap going on, as Bench mentioned. Waterman was going down to the ground, had the ball. You see that there was kind of a wrap-up, and they both go to the ground. The ball comes out, some scrap. He kind of throws an elbow into Waterman, and it looks like they're trying to organize this thing.
Double tech.
Do basketball fights embarrass you like they do me? Because they're so soft and gross.
They're so fake. It's just like all posing. At no point is it an actual fight.
Not like fights at Club Omni when Hans used to
break them up
you
or start them.
Actual fights, typically, like the most actual fights that you'll see are when you're 2.5 weeks into camp and guys are just sick and tired of each other and you get a one-on-one going and then helmets come off and fists get thrown. That's when I've seen jaws busted. I've seen helmets slammed on people's foreheads. That's how John Tate.
Yeah.
His end at Kansas City came because he got in a big scrap during camp and a rookie took his helmet off and hit him right across the forehead with it, split his head open, and he didn't feel like Kansas City did enough to that guy. Those are some of the more brutal fights.
Hey, do yourself a favor, Hans. You should Google Spring Break Oklahoma Drill. because all these partying spring break kids line up and do the Oklahoma drill. And yeah, it's pretty funny. All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks to everybody who came out
Come
here at JCW's.
Down. This
yeah, we're having a great
up.
Time.
Weird hand shows up and everyone else starts coming out too.
Hans and Scotty G are coming up next, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.